And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 274, your week 25 fab preview. Three fabs left on the fantasy baseball season. Hope you guys are ready to rock and roll through that. We're going to get you ready for this weekend's fab, catch up on a little bit of news, and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, man. Going up against that other sport this evening. So let's see if our Nielsen ratings take a hit or not on the show. Two more of these after this. That's freaking nuts, man. I'm going to miss, honestly, like going to miss doing these. I really enjoy the fab shows. We will still always do two shows a week in the off season. So we'll still have Thursday shows, but they won't be fab. But yeah, wild that we're only two more after this.
Yep, it's coming down to the wire here. Hopefully people are still contending for some maybe some titles in your fantasy baseball leagues. I know some are in the playoffs. Some have already been eliminated from the playoffs. Some, like Ben Bingham in our chat, already won his league because they stopped at the end of August due to football. So
sensible.
Lots of ways to go about it here. Hope you guys are going to keep going hard for the last month of the season before everyone completely that already almost did shift to the other sport that's on TV right now because there was a rain delay in Philadelphia. All right. Before we get to the fab preview, just a couple bits of news and notes. We'll cover a lot of it when we talk team by team schedules, of course. But on the injury front, Ryan, Roman Anthony goes to the IL with an oblique strain. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Alex Cora basically told Roman, just visualize leading off in game one of the ALCS, which is October 12th, which is about 5 weeks away, Ryan. So it looks like we're going to, obviously season's over. We'll see how the playoffs look for Mr. Anthony.
We'll see how the playoffs look for Mr. Anthony, if that opportunity even presents itself. Obvious drop for the last 3 weeks of the season. And I don't know if there's an obvious add, like Nick Sogard was called up. And that was the corresponding move, I believe. But Sogard's been playing second. So I don't know. You think maybe Christian Campbell is someone to look at, perhaps?
I think that's one guy to look at. He's got hitting like 270 since August 1st. You know, four or five steals. He's playing center field at AAA. It feels like it's a good time to give him a take two at the big league levels, I think.
Yeah. It would make sense. That would make sense. I mean, the Red Sox pretty much, you don't want to say anything with 100% certainty at this point, but pretty much Red Sox are going to be in the playoffs. So why not see what you have in Christian Campbell? Because the other options are, yeah, leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, definitely. It's not the best outfield situation in Boston. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Another IL stint coming up here. Spencer Arrighetti goes to the IL with right elbow inflammation, ending his 2025 fantasy baseball season. They're still undergoing more tests to determine the full severity of the injury, but they have announced his season is over for the Houston Astros, which it stinks because he had like two starts, then fractures his hand on a batting practice ball, misses a couple months, and he has really never been the same since he returned, Ryan.
Never been the same since he returned. This is also like example 9,314 of the six-man rotation not actually being a six-man rotation. So I don't really know if they're – I guess the Astros could just stick down to five. Like Jason Alexander stays in the rotation.
That's a big takeaway for me, is that just looks like a done deal now.
Yes, exactly. And Alexander, like
– been good.
He's been better lately, to the point where he's certainly streamable depending on a matchup, which we'll probably get to when we get to the Astros. But yeah, Alexander's in for now. Let's see if Houston stays with six man. They could like put Lance McCullers as a sixth man. I don't know. But yeah, six man don't always work out, almost never do. So
yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. Right now, Alexander's set for a two step next week at Toronto, at Atlanta, but none of it's set in stone because none of it's dark black on any of the sheets. And heck, the following 2 weeks, they still have Spencer Arrighetti in the projected pitchers list. So I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see how that one pans out. But I'm pretty sure everything I've seen and read, Arrighetti's donezo for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Last bit of news here, Seth Lugo to the IL. He's been dealing with back issues and other issues like not being able to throw strikes and getting hit all over the ballpark issues. So he's on the IL. I think that means his season's pretty much kaput. It's low back tightness, so I guess he could come back for like one more start. But 3 weeks to go, 15-day IL, Ryan. I'm not a major in math, but you're out of time.
You are out of time, and we kind of crapped on Lugo on the Tuesday show. Usually what that means is next time they go out and shove, absolutely shove, like Zach Gallen did this past week, but Seth Lugo did not. And this was probably a big reason. I mean, our Tuesday show was second half risers and fallers, and Lugo was one of the biggest fallers in terms of just player rater from first to second half. Wouldn't be the first or last time a 35-year-old pitcher with a ton of innings on his arm has some back issues and is not 100%. So I wonder if that's been driving. Like, I wonder how long this has kind of been going on with Lugo, and then they finally just decided to shut it down. No real reason to bring him back either at this point.
Yep, no doubt about it. Seems like, and they already got his 2-year extension. Just let him heal up and get ready for 2026 at this point would be the most logical thing. Or, you know, somehow the Royals make a push for a third wild card. You never know, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one just yet.
Yep.
All right, let's get to it. Week 25, Fab, Ryan, let's go team by team schedules. Talk all the goodies here. What do we got when you first take a peek at this week's schedule?
All right, let's do this. We've got a bunch of teams with 7 games. Guardians, Royals, Angels, Mariners, Marlins, Mets, Phillies, Nationals, Rockies, Padres, all have 7 games, no 5-game weeks. But your parks are a little bit not as advantageous. So the Rays are on the road, as they have been a ton recently. They are on the road for 6, so you don't get any home Rays. I don't believe you get any home Rockies.
Nope.
You've got seven games of road Rockies, which I instantly look at the pitchers going against Colorado, and those would automatically be targets. Cincinnati is also on the road, so no Great American Small Park, since the Reds are on the road for 3 at the Padres and 3 at Sacramento on their West Coast swing. So
the A's are at home, though.
And who?
The A's are at home, though.
I always forget one. The A's are at home for 6. However, it is the toughest schedule of any team, with a 21% strikeout minus walk on average of the pitchers facing the A's this week. And it's a split week for them. It's 3 lefties and 3 righties. So while the A's are at home, there's going to be a lot of tough calls and maybe not good fab pickups given the platoon nature of the week for the A's and the quality of opponent going next to them. It's Garrett Crochet. It's Peyton Tolley. It's Hunter Green. It's Lodolo. Like, that's
Brady Singer. Put some respect on that name.
I will not mention Brady Singer. Is he on
21,
there?
Near 21% K to walk in the second half. Come on now.
Yeah, he is on there, but no, I don't put him in that company yet.
I'm looking forward to Dustin May in Sacramento. That should go.
I did skip over Dustin May. Yeah, yes.
That's deserving.
But yeah, that crew on average 21% K to walk against the A's this week. So while the A's are at home, it's still not the best schedule.
Yep, that sounds about right, and should be make for an interesting week ahead in fantasy, especially without all the massive hitting advantages. Let's get to it. Baltimore Orioles, they start the schedule talk here. 6 games, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays. All righties on tap for the Baltimore Orioles, a team that's been pretty much locked and loaded with the same, you know, main guys for the most part. So what are you looking at here? Is I think this might be the week that Jeremiah Jackson finally gets over the threshold.
I would hope. I mean, he's still 45% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers, which to me seems low. I'll give kudos to you. You were very early jumping on the Jeremiah Jackson bandwagon. I was a little bit more tepid, but has taken full advantage of the playing time that Jackson's been given, hitting second every day against lefties and righties, getting time at third base and right field. It's all happening right now for Jeremiah Jackson. It's probably a really good hot streak. He's not this good, in my opinion, but you've certainly enjoyed the fruits of that pickup over the last couple of weeks. 6 righty weeks, so I also have Dylan Beavers as just an option. Hasn't been on fire, but will probably start 6 times this week, even though it is kind of down in the order. So Dylan Beavers as a conditional outfielder and probably deeper formats is somewhat intriguing to me.
Yeah, I don't mind the Beavers call. I like Jackson more as well.
I know it's funny. I do too. Beavers is 71% rostered in 12s. And Jackson's 45. Like that makes no sense to me.
No, they like that flashy prospect. That's just the way this game works. Sometimes you can kind of sneak. Huh. Well, it was like last year, and everyone wanted Luis Matos, and I kept saying take Elliot Ramos, and because that's how the game works sometimes with these people. But And I'm not perfect in that regard either. Be very clear on that. But yeah, I like the Beavers call on a week like this, especially decent matchups as well. Very, very decent matchups. Other than that, I'm not going to Manuel Rivera. Jordan Westberg is set to start a rehab assignment very soon. I'll say that much. So keep an eye on that. We might get some movement in the right direction. I'm not sure when, but we could get movement in that direction. Anything on the pitching side? Because Tyler Wells came back and looks really good. They're going to go six-man for now in Baltimore as well.
That's what I was going to bring up was Tyler Wells pretty much widely. I mean, just made his debut. So would go Wednesday against Pittsburgh. However, that is against Paul Skeen. So chances of a win in that one seem pretty low.
Probably pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. It's true, actually. Given that Skeen has, he won today, right? He beat Dodgers.
Because the Dodgers got swept by the Pirates.
That's right. Swept. See, I don't always try and get you down.
S-W-E-P-T, swept.
I don't always try and get you down. I'll try and prop you up a little bit. Paul Skeen's got his 10th win of the season. He's gotten a bunch of wins lately. So
yeah, he's picked him up a lot lately.
That's good. But no, Tyler Wells, and I think like a whip master, Tyler Wells. Really good control if you're bunched up in whip, like I am in some leagues before I started George Kirby this past week. Oof. You can look at Tyler Wells because the whip is always usually really good. K's may not be there, but I think he's in the rotation. It is six man, like you said. He could be good at.
And if this rotation sticks, which is a gigantic if, of course, it's the White Sox the following, which is a better offense, but still not the worst matchup. But then at home versus Tampa, who's been struggling a ton, especially away from their ballpark. So not a bad finishing schedule for Tyler Wells also.
Yep. Yep.
All righty, let's go to the Boston Red Sox, who need a replacement for Roman Anthony. They have six games coming up, three at Sacramento, glorious, and then three at home versus the wonderful New York Yankees. So when it comes to Boston, outside of a potential Anthony replacement, which we don't really know the answer to because if it's Nicholas Sogard, please say no. What else do you like here?
Not much. Honestly, like not anything, actually. I mean, Romy Gonzalez playing every day again against lefties and righties, kind of combo first, second base, at least since before Sogard was called up. But we've been down the Romy Gonzalez path before, and it's good for a week or two, and then it's not for a while. So I don't really see anything, honestly, on the Boston ads. Like, I'm always going to bring up Kyle Harrison. It's like he finally has a chance to do it. I know. And then what, hurt his ankle or something? So as we're recording, I don't know the latest there. So I don't know, man. I don't see much with the Red Sox right now.
Yeah, they technically don't have a fifth starter. They may could come back from the bullpen. Like they let him go. He did throw 53 pitches out of the pen in the start that Harrison was supposed to make. So maybe they bring him back. There's been rumblings of that. Who knows? But it looks like Harrison's never going to get the proper respect he deserves, which is an absolute shame. Maybe he's just not good. Maybe I'm just totally wrong on this one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he's just not good. New York Yankees, they have six games this week, three at home versus Detroit, three at the Boston Red Sox, one lefty and five righties to take on a Bronx Bombers team that Jazz Chisholm did leave hurt on Thursday, so keep an eye on that over the weekend. But other than that, his team's pretty much locked and loaded.
It is. It is. So, like, it pretty much – now Jason Dominguez and Paul Goldschmidt really have been bench bats. There was some shuffling there, but this lineup is absolutely locked in with Stanton just being he's cooled down a little bit, but being an absolute monster and Trent Grisham doing his thing. So not much to add. I mean, if Jazz Chisholm were to be hurt, would we look at like a Jose Caballero if you need steals? I don't know where we'd go there.
I think Caballero is actually an intriguing option, because he could definitely slide into second base. Or is Amed Rosario going to get the love? I think I go Caballero, personally.
It's my guy.
Yeah, I got to go Caballero, but let's make sure Jazz is actually banged up on this one.
True, true.
One thing I will shout out, because it's a guy I have dropped in the past, but I think Austin Wells, if you need a catcher too, he's playing about half the time, a little over half, give or take. Went deep yesterday. He has two home runs the week before. He's basically had two home runs each of the last 2 weeks. He got one this week. He's hitting 500 this week, 286 last week. So he's producing. If you need a catcher too in deeper leagues, but maybe even some 12-team viability with all the injuries we've been having, or you just want to try to maximize, you know, upside at catcher too. It's not the easiest of weeks, but it's not too shabby either. So I think Austin Wells might be back on the docket in the catcher two world.
It's all about maximizing that catcher two value.
Dude, hey, nothing to laugh at these days. Anything else with the New York Yankees?
No, that's it.
Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games on the road this week, three at the surging Chicago White Sox. It's too bad their pitching isn't surging. And three in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. So they've got a week in Chicago for the Rays. Two lefties and four righties. They get three righties versus the White Sox. Good week to have some Rays if you feel frisky.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, the good Rays are owned, and the other ones, I don't think are, like, a lot of them platoon, I don't think are good enough to roll with in a four-game week. So, I don't know. Carson Williams is getting everyday playing time, but despite all the Colson Montgomery comps, who just homered again, by the way, as we started hitting record. Yeah, again, trying to lift you up this week.
Thank you. Don't hurt your back. It's a heavy lift.
Carson Williams has one barrel in 36 plate appearances and is striking out more than a third of the time. So despite the playing time he's been getting, I don't think Carson Williams is an ad right now. I don't see really any Rays bats to add, to be honest.
The only one bats, I have none. I have a pitching discussion, but nothing when it comes to the bats. I'm with you there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Pitching, I'd just say Ian Seymour again. He's still only 55% in 12s. Like we talked about him last week. Okay. It's because last week you had Bradish, you had Tolle, and you had Tong. And then you had Morales. Like Seymour was down the list, basically. He should get, let's say it's 45% still available. He should be closer to 85 by the end of the weekend, I'd imagine. So go get some Ian Seymour in your life. He's got a, last I checked, let me, before I speak completely out of my rear end, he had a pretty good looking schedule coming up.
He does. The best matchup is Friday, so we can't really take advantage of that unless you are playing for this week. And, you know, there's leagues where you can do that. Gets Cleveland on Friday, then at the White Sox, and then a home against Toronto, which
a little scary.
That might be a little scary, but you
throw and home versus Boston. Oof.
Yeah, Boston doesn't like terrify
it's the ballpark. Me. It's the ballpark.
Yeah, that's true. But now Ian Seymour for Cleveland and the White Sox next week. That certainly works.
Yep, totally agree with you there. All right, let's go to the Toronto Blue Jays. Six games, all at home. Three versus Houston. Three versus Baltimore. One lefty and five righties for a Jays team. Hey, Addison Barker's waking up, I think. I'm hoping. He had a good game. Great American Small Park will do that. Great American Small Park will do that for you. So
It sounds like you have Addison Barker on a lot of teams, and you're just trying to will this to happen.
I want to bring him back off the bench. I want to bring him back off the bench. Yes,
like I actually have him down as a Gene Segura, who has been playing every day and doing nothing, depending on how long you've been starting Addison Barker. So
the new name, if we stop using Gene Segura, it's going to be called the Nick Castellanos.
Yes. Yes. Horrendous. Horrendous, yet playing every day and in many, many lineups.
Yeah, I made the comment in the Discord. I said, I've been benching him for weeks. I can't drop him, unfortunately, because they're DC shares.
I've been starting him at DCs for weeks, so that's where I'm at.
That's because you probably have no one else with a pulse.
There are not many good alternatives this late in the season. Yep.
Anything else with the Jays, or are we just kind of
not really. Are you forcing me to mention Ernie Clement? Are we still doing that, or what are we doing?
I was letting you run with it, seeing where you went. But I'm glad you're finally catching on to the drill here.
No, I don't have anything else for the
Jays. deep leagues. You can keep going Nathan Lucas, but he's kind of slowed down, similar to Barker, so I'm not going like crazy there. And pitching side, there's not much either. Like, those guys are all pretty much locked and loaded. And by the way, Jeff Hoffman's the closer, no matter how bad he is, because everyone else sucks in that bullpen.
Yeah, that's a pretty brutal bullpen. Deming has been okay as an ad, but there's nothing there. Hoffman's blown a ton of saves, but I don't know. Got a save on Tuesday. I feel like
his also got 30 on the season.
I know. I feel like his leash is, like, long.
Yeah, I'm with you. Chicago White Sox, they have six games this week, three at home versus Tampa, three at the Guardians, two lefties, four righties for the White Sox. Another team swinging it and swinging it well. What do you like with the Pale Hose?
Yeah, White Sox, like, we've been saying this for the past couple of weeks, but kind of a sneaky, decent squad here in the second half, at least with the lineup. And obviously, Colson Montgomery has been a massive part of that. I will always, Andrew Benintendi, I will always recommend him.
What a game the other night.
Dong. Yep, double dong earlier this week. And even on the season for Benintendi, it's a career-high barrel rate by quite a bit. Still an excellent strikeout rate. So I like Benintendi, as usual. Especially in a, well, it's a four game righty week, but I think he's going to play no matter what.
He'll still play every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Don't mind Benny biceps at all in that one.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm going to just throw it out there. I mentioned it in the Discord a couple days ago, and you've mentioned him in recent weeks. Brooks Baldwin has a little 12 team viability now. Boy's just doing everything. Hits at the bottom of the order, but he gets on, he runs, has a little bit of pop. Like, He's definitely locked up in 50s. He should be, but there's a world where, as the season comes winding down, if you need, like, he doesn't hurt your average, doesn't give you a ton of pop, but he's 5% rostered in 12s, and the boy just keeps producing right now. Like, if you just go by his week by weeks here, it's hitting 546 this week, 182 last week, but 286, 364. He's got a couple homers, he's got a couple steals. Like, he's pretty decent.
Baldwin is second, short, third outfield, so pretty much anywhere. If you are stashing guys, which I don't really recommend this late in the season, you got to be pretty ruthless with the drops. But if you have a few guys you're holding on to that, like, may come back next week or something, it's nice to have that kind of utility knife with Brooks Baldwin. I wanted to talk, there's, like, interesting pitching on the White Sox, which I didn't really like. So we talked about the White Sox, like, being sneaky decent lately. Like, Jordan Leisure's gotten two saves this week, and, like, maybe the guy, I don't know if Jordan Leisure is good or not, but it also doesn't really matter with 3 weeks left in the season if you need a cheap closer. And it certainly looks like Jordan Leisure is the closer. He is pretty much universally available, and I would think you can get for pretty cheap.
No, I like that shout. I've noticed that watching the big inning on MLB Gate, whatever the heck that is. Always at bat or whatever MLB, it's called. I always screw up what it's called. Yeah. But it seems like every time the White Sox are there, like, he is the guy getting called upon. Like, he gets the first shot. Even the other night, like, you can see in the deal here, Grant Taylor got his first win since college at any level of pro baseball. And it was Leisure getting the save. Like, it's his cha-cha. It feels like he didn't get the save on Sunday, but I think it's because he pitched Friday and Saturday, most likely, or maybe he's not doing back-to-back. So, yeah, I'm with you, 100% with you. I think if you want some cheap saves, it's a team that's playing much, much better. It's a set of matchups that aren't that bad. Cleveland's god-awful right now. And Tampa Bay, outside of Tampa, is still a good team, but very beatable, let's put it that way.
Yep.
So the White Sox, like, I can see them going 3-3 on the week. Maybe they get you two or three saves.
Exactly. And that's why normally I wouldn't bring up Leisure, but, like, this is not the White Sox team that we were all making fun of last year. They actually can generate save opportunities, and they've generated three in the last 6 days. So you don't want to totally just ignore these guys just because they are on the White Sox. Last but not least, weekly shout out to our guy, Martin Perez.
Dude, like
I said before, 93rd year in a row, he just pops up in August and becomes a beast again. So Martin Perez, I think, what lines up
next week
at Cleveland. Good God. Yeah, like, that's beautiful. So you just,
and then versus Baltimore. Oh, giddy up.
Yep.
So you said it's 93 straight years. I think I heard you correctly. Are you ready to not believe again in his 94th year next year, or how's that going to go for you?
I will. I actually, I have no recollection of this at all, but Martin Perez is actually on one of my DCs. Don't know why.
I was probably bugging you about something. It's my only guess, because he's a total me. Like, yeah, take him in round 50. Why not?
Yeah. But, the old adage, if you do something for 93 years in a row, most likely you'll do it again in the 94th year. So, again, look forward to Martin Perez sipping Mai Tais on an island for 6-7 months and then just reappearing in our lives in August 2026.
Most definitely. Cleveland Guardians, first seven gamer of the week here, all at home, four versus the Royals, three versus the White Sox. One of the better hitting schedules this week. Two lefties, five righties. And Zardo went deep again on Thursday. Like, it's a quiet stat line from Anzardo. Doesn't hit for the best average, but boy, oh boy, does he keep connected on the long ball.
Yes, and Manzardo's not really like a fab pickup type of deal, but it's more of a start-sit type of option. He's
playing every day now.
Yeah, he was platooning, but now playing against lefties, so you definitely roll Manzardo out there. Outside of that, on the hitting side, like Brian Rocchio has been hot, but it's Brian Rocchio. I don't know. You got anything?
No, I don't.
It's bad, dude.
Yeah, I don't trust any of these guys. Like you said, Rocchio's not – Gabriel Arias has had his moments. I'm not. You got to be really frugal with your fab right now. This isn't where I want to be spending money, I don't think. Could be totally naive of us, but not where I plan on doing it.
But I mean, this is also. So the Cleveland Guardians over the last 30 days are the worst. Like by far, 65 WRC plus. 65. That's horrendous over the last month. No other team is under 80. Rockies. Rockies are 77. Apologies. Yeah. But like, this is a stream against Ryan Burgert, Cameron, Michael Wacha, probably not Lugo anymore, but Martin Perez.
Davis Martin.
The hell is that? Davis Martin?
Yeah.
I'd even Gomez. Think about that. I don't know about old Gomez. But
no, I think I stop at Perez. It's Burgert, Cameron, Wacha, Perez for me. I don't really
You wouldn't even care do Davis. For the other even you have standards?
Surprisingly, yes. Many that seen. Never mind. I'm gonna stop talking. Yes, stop talking right now. Yeah,
yeah. No, this is absolutely stream against territory against one of the worst. Not one of the. They are the worst lineup right now in baseball. So,
yeah, it's brutal. After you get as long as you can survive J-Ram, you're pretty much in the clear. Because even Kwan and company aren't really doing a whole lot to you. Like it's Kwan. Schneeman's batting second. Schneeman should be batting eighth in any lineup. So yeah, that's just.
Schneeman
I'm just
should stop be batting there. Eighth in AAA, I think.
That's why I'm just going to stop there. I don't even go farther down the list. It just says it all right there. Any love for our boy Joey Cantillo's back?
Yeah,
they might stick around with the six man. You got Cantillo gets KC next week, which isn't a bad matchup. They've been floundering of late. Following week's Detroit. I don't know. I love some Joey Cantillo. It's not like maybe for a buck, but I'm not going to go crazy over it.
Yeah, agreed. And we also don't know if he's going to be in the rotation going forward. But I would add Cantillo as a streaming option next week. Certainly not a Martin Perez type, but if that start holds, I like that.
Many Martin Perez types, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. But no, Cantillo is a good call.
Detroit Tigers, six games this week, three at the Bronx against the Yankees, three at Miami. That's a tale of two cities. One lefty and five righties for the Detroit Tigers that I can't figure out if they're actually a good team right now or not. They keep fluctuating so freaking much.
Yeah, agreed. It's been an absolute roller coaster. I mean, they pretty much have already locked up the division, 9.5.
Yeah.
Game lead. Well,
that means
Kansas
they're good.
City, but
yeah.
That means they're good. Well, yeah. or the AL Central
or
is.
The division. Yes.
Fair enough.
We just got to talk about Cleveland. Yes. You're right.
Exactly. The Royals are in second place and are two games above 500. So
yeah.
There is that. You're right. I don't know how good of a team this is right now, especially that rotation after Tarik Skubal. It's not great, depending what you think of Jack Flaherty, but after that, it's Mize has not been the same in the second half. Ditto Charlie Morton seems to be wearing down a little bit. And then, I mean, the thing I was going to bring up really for not even for real life, but for our teams is just keep an eye on the Kyle Finnegan potential groin injury. He was trying to warm up the other day, and yeah. I think it was yesterday on Wednesday.
It was on Wednesday.
And yes. And did not finish warming up. So just keep an eye on that. If there's any type of like injury there, Finnegan is a drop.
Will Vest is 93% rostered in 12s, but get on that because I picked him up into 12 last week just because to get any saves I can, and that could turn out to be pretty nice for 3 weeks.
Yeah, without
all right
Finnegan, I don't think there would be anyone else in that picture. I would hope not, but
no,
you never
know. No, it shouldn't be. No, I mean, I picked him up when Finnegan was there because he'd still Vest was either getting like a win or a save every week. So I'm like, screw it, I'll get that with ratios. Now we're back to business, baby. All right, Royals, seven games on the week, all on the road, four at those wonderful, wonderful Cleveland Guardians, three at the Phillies, who you got a pretty darn good slate of welcome back Walker Buehler in this one. and Aaron Nola. God, what a weekend to be a Royal.
Nola gave up 5 runs before getting an out this week.
you weren't even able to walk to the fridge to get a beer before that one happened. It was glorious. So this is a great week. Like, you might even convince me I'm out Massey when I see Aaron Nola's on the docket. What do you got here?
This whole week is just like everything surrounding the Royals is like Bloomfield favorites. So you do have the Nola start. You've got Walker Buehler. It was not a favorite, but I'm just like, why is he on the Phillies right now? But yes, this is one of the easiest schedules of the week. It's a 7-game week. It's 5 righties. It could be time to unleash Mount Massey, Michael Massey. And even better, it's Jack Cag's time, baby. We're back.
Are we, though? Are we? He started 1 out of 3 games, all righties, my friend.
DH, too.
Damn. Because this is the thing, and like, I've seen a lot of people in Discord mad about it. I get it. It's frustrating. The Royals flat out said while he was in AAA that they're not calling him up until they have a regular spot for him. So when he got called up, it was when rosters expanded, thus was not a regular spot for him. I'm not saying he can't all of a sudden start playing every day. My expectations are very low.
Yeah, the 1 out of 3 starts, not ideal. So,
like, if he plays Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, my tone could change. I don't see it happening, but it could change.
Yeah, thanks for crushing my dreams there with Jack Cags. And yeah, Mount Massey, in all honesty, is not an ad. He's not good. He hasn't been a mountain in
He's more years. Mole Massey. Yeah. But it's a Yastrzemski week if he's still sitting out there, which he should be in 12s. So go get your Yaz on. Yeah, he's 44. Up to 44. That's some nice respect for the boy, but it's another great week for Mike Yastrzemski if you want to go get like a phenomenal week to go get some Yaz.
Probably should have led off with him and not Caglione or Massey, but that's
well. I get your excitement. You spent a third of your budget on him. You need to be excited about getting to utilize him. So I get it. I just wanted to bring you back down before you started him next week, and then you join the masses in the Discord and ask why he's not playing.
When you refer to you as spending a third, were you referring to me specifically or everyone?
It could be a you or a general you. I don't know. I was just throwing it out there. If it hit close to home, I apologize. It could have. I don't know.
Yeah, it did. That's okay.
So no Stephen Kolek versus the Guardians. Are you jumping on that? Because I don't think I can do it.
Kolek? No. Yeah. No.
Burgert's only 67% rostered, so I'd go and make that pickup if you guys can.
The problem with Burgert is he gets a second start against the Phillies.
That sucks.
Two-step. So,
I don't know if I want. That's a good point, actually. That's terrifying because he's a ton of pitch to contact. It's not what you want.
Yeah.
So, good call. That could make things a little trickier. Maybe not as automatic as I once thought. Now, if you're in a daily league, giddy up. Go get that one and make it happen.
Yep.
Anything else with Kansas City? Because Seth Lugo's gone, so that locks in this rotation. That is oof. I did pick up Michael Lorenzen for his two-step this last week in a lot of spots. Do I get to hold on to him, or is it a Phillies? It's got to be a Phillies start. It's two-step.
Lorenzen would face the Phillies against Buehler next Friday.
Oh, that's actually a good chance for a win.
You're not wrong.
Seattle, and then at the Angels. Angels start could be nice. Well, that's me talking in my brain out loud. All right, Minnesota Twins. They have 6 games this week, 3 at the Angels, 3 at home versus Arizona, all righties for Minnesota, which last year pumped for the line change. This year, the line change is rather rostered.
Yeah, you've got your Trevor Larnach. You're just starting that. He's widely rostered. What about, is Walner widely rostered?
95%. Jesus. 95%.
Okay. Matt Brooks Walner, I think Walner he's hitting under. Today. He did. The power's still there, but he's hitting under. I mean, this is Joey Gallo again.
Oh, he's Joey Gallo. I agree with you now. He is Joey Gallo.
Oh, now you agree.
Yeah, well, I don't have him rostered anywhere, so I fully agree with you.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess you can't add Walner, and I don't know. There is Cody Clements, but he's been pretty bad lately. I think two homers and less than a 200 batting average over the last month for Cody Clements. So
yeah, it's tough.
I don't know. It is tough, but it is. I mean, it is an all righty week for the Twins. It's 11% breakout minus walk. Yeah, it's a great. I mean, it's Caden Dana, Kyle Hendricks, Jose Soriano's tough, but then Brendan Faught, Ryan Nelson, Nabil Chrismat. Like, that's a it's a good week. So I don't know. And I mean, in deep leagues, if you need something, Cody Clements is an option, but he hasn't been that great. Another one I want to throw out there, Brooks Lee has not been great lately either. We've seen that hot streak kind of fall, and Lee has actually now been dropped to like sixth in the order.
He's 81% rostered too.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be looking for alternatives there if you've got Brooks Lee.
Just so tough. He's eligible in a few places, which is always very, very nice. But
yeah,
I agree. It's a great schedule, but the guys you want are rostered, unfortunately. And when it comes to the pitching side, Pablo Lopez back good on call. Friday.
He is back on Friday. What's Pablo in 12s?
That's a good question. I think he's pretty widely
people
rostered.
People probably picked him back up.
89%. 89%.
44% started in 12s. I mean, that's awful.
Who had the crystal ball out on that one?
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, he's back on Friday. Never mind. That's that is crystal ballish.
Yeah, how'd they pull that? I'm not going to say anymore. But yeah, if he's available and you're 11% of your OCs, go get him. But that's the big move when it comes to the pitching side with the Minnesota Twins is we get Pablo Lopez back in our life, and they need that because Taj Bradley, Zebby, SWR, Bailey Ober, they're not helping Joe Ryan out at all.
Yeah, I mean, the Twins just need the season to be over at this point.
Yeah, they need – this is like where they need Kenta Maeda really badly just to eat some innings up, but I digress. Justin Topa's struggled a lot. The bullpen's – this whole team stinks.
Yeah.
I honestly – okay, hear me out. If the Twins can win some games next week, it's a big if with the Twins. I think there's a chance we see Cole Sands get some saves coming up here. Cole Sands has not allowed a run in his last 8 appearances. Over those 8 appearances, let me give you the full numbers here, because I was listening to their broadcast rave about him, so I had to dig in on him the other night. He's thrown 10 innings over his last 8 appearances. He's got 3 holds in his last 3 outings, 17 Ks and only 2 walks and 10 innings pitched. He's been filthy, absolutely filthy. So ratios is a 43% K to walk over those 10 innings, which is pretty darn good, and it comes with a 14% swinging strike. So if you're specking for saves, if you're like a Jordan Leisure type guy, I could see Cole Sands taking over the closing role in Minnesota for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, those are tiny, tiny samples that you mentioned, but in life of the bullpen, it's all about timing. He's pitching well right now. Topa's not. Like, it would make a ton of sense.
Topa's blown his last 2 saves.
Yep, would make a ton of sense if they made a change there. So wouldn't spend much on it because, like, you know, the Twins have to win and they actually have to make the change, but it's a good call. I like that as a dollar spec.
Yep, dollar spec, and at worst, I guess it's strikeouts and ratios. He's going to have that coming in spades for you. Like, the dude's just filthy. So there's a plus. At least you get something out of it when all things are done. All right, AL West, Sacramento Athletics, all at home for 6. Boston, Cincinnati, 3 lefties, 3 righties, as you mentioned earlier, which really, to your point, not a whole lot you can do. But I will say, Zach Gelof. Can I interest you in Zach Gelof? Because
why?
That's where I go. He's 10% rostered, so there's 10% of the smart people in the game. Dude. I said 333 this week with a home run already. that's 12 at base, 4 for 12 to start the week. He's homered in back-to-back weeks. He's also struck out 18 times and 36 at-bats. That's 50% K rate for those people tracking at home.
Dude, what are you doing? 50%, 5-0, not 15.
I know. I said 5-0. I'm just saying, 6 games in Sacramento.
No, I
think Gelof hits at least 2 home runs next week, drives in like 6 runs, steals a bag, and strikes out 40% of the time.
I'll take the under on all of that, except for the strikeout rate. I'll take the over.
He's playing every day. It's better than Mount Massey can say for himself.
Dude, Zach Gelof has been like totally horrendous.
Well, folks listening at home, when Ryan tells me my guy is not good,
oh, my track record is
on
awful.
That train. Yeah. Colson Montgomery tonight hit his 17th home run, 454 feet. The only player with more home runs since the All-Star break is Kyle Schwarber. Saw that tweet.
I did not say Colson Montgomery was horrendous. I just got tired of you asking me about him, and so I eventually just swore him off. But
that's beautiful.
Yeah, seriously, watch Gelof hit 2 or 3.
I know. I'll trust me. I will remind you too when it happens.
I can't do a 5.0% strikeout rate on the season. So, that's no, fair. I'm not doing Geloff.
Anything else on the hitting side? I do have a pitching thing to mention.
No, I didn't know Zach Geloff would get us so fired up.
Oh, always gets me fired up. Luis Severino, back from the IL. He's 32% rostered in 12s. He's someone to definitely keep in mind. He's been pitching really well before he got hurt. Better on the road, but actually had some good home starts before he got hurt. He's scheduled to face the Reds, which is the better of the two matchups, in my opinion, next week.
Yeah.
And then Severino gets at Pittsburgh and then versus Houston. Houston might not be playing for anything. Good set of matchups for Luis Severino. So keep that in mind. Luis Morales got pushed from Sunday to Monday. So that wonderful two-step this week became one. And now he has a two-step at home next week against Boston and Cincinnati, which I'm still rolling with, but I do not like it at all.
There you go. Joe G. Joe G got his answer there. Morales got pushed to Monday. So it's a two-step, but yeah, I don't know, man. That's some tough matchups at home.
He's been pitching great everywhere he's been, home and road. So I'm gonna keep going with it and just hope that it doesn't get blown up, at least not twice. Give me at least one really good start and see where it goes from there. But yeah, just wanted to mention that about Luis Morales, and that's all I have for the position.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any other bats to pick up, you know, outside of obviously Zach Geloff.
Obviously.
Yeah, it even like trying to start the Law Dog is rough against three lefties, but yeah, I don't know. We can move on.
All right, Houston Astros, they have six games this week, three at Toronto, three at Atlanta, one lefty and five righties. Victor Caratini has come off the IL. If he starts to play again, maybe that's in play. Otherwise, I don't have much for you, Ryan.
No, I think it's a good week to start. If you have Jesus Sanchez, you want to roll with that. I think he homered today in five righties, although it is somewhat of a tough schedule for Houston. Is Luis Garcia, I think Luis Garcia is widely available in NFBC leagues.
Luis Garcia he debuted, is 1% rostered, yes.
Okay. Yes, he debuted on, that's right. He debuted on Monday. So there are certainly leagues, and I think in labor as well, where Luis Garcia is widely available. Six innings, six Ks, no walks, looked really good in his debut against the Angels. Like, I think that's your top starting pitcher ad this week. If he's available in your league, Luis Garcia.
Yep, grabbed him in Tout this past week, so that feels mighty fine. He gets at Atlanta this week, then versus Seattle at the Angels, but that is subject to change once Eric Geddy's out of that mix. So
yeah, exactly.
Could change quite a bit.
I like the ad, and in all seriousness, we all like to make the same name joke, but there is a Luis Garcia pitcher, relief pitcher. Just double-check that. I think he's on the Angels. Just double-check that you have the right Luis Garcia when you're bidding this week, because they're both pitchers.
Yeah, that'd be a crying shame. We'd hate to have an NFBC rollback on Fab.
Yeah,
see where that one heads.
Don't want that.
So no one wants that. So please, please be very, very careful here. Just out of curiosity, what's Jason Alexander's? He's still only 25%. Now that he's locked in the rotation, I'm pretty excited to
Yeah.
I know the matchups aren't ideal, but a lot, like this week it's at Toronto, at Atlanta. I'll take that Atlanta for sure. And dude, Alexander's placed the Yankees. Like, he hasn't had a cupcake schedule, and he has held his own every single time.
I mean, I will say it's a 32-year-old journeyman who has an 11% strikeout minus walk on the season. Like, that, none of that's really good. Alexander has pitched better lately. 14 Ks, three walks over his last two starts. One of those was Road Rockies, so there's that. But he has held his own. I'm a little more tepid, I think, than you are, but matchup dependent for Alexander.
Let me remind you that you told yourself you have to start realizing a 34-year-old Michael Wacha is worthy of being rostered. So tell me where Jason Alexander fluctuates from that conversation.
Because Waka's been doing it for like 4 years. Alexander's been a month.
We have 3 weeks to make this happen. Yeah. All right, we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll get this one wrong. It's fair. Angels, seven games this week. Three at home versus Minnesota, four at Seattle. All lefties, seven lefties for the Halos. Joe Adell's hashtag good. But what do you have for the Angels here? A team that doesn't really scare me?
No, they do not. Agree, Joe Adell is very good. I will actually throw out Yoan Moncada. He's hitting second against righties. It's all righty week for the Angels. Yoan Moncada has a 13% barrel rate, reasonable strikeout rate. Like, there's actually some, you know, while he's healthy, injuries have been a problem for Yoan Moncada, but I actually think this is a pretty decent third base corner infield stream for the week. Yoan Moncada.
Okay.
Yoan Moncada or Zach Gelof?
I'll take Zach Gelof in his ballpark.
Man, I almost want to beer bet this, but no.
I'll make an actual reasonable one with you. Brooks Baldwin or Yoan Moncada?
I think I do. That's tough. I think I'll do Moncada.
I'll do Baldwin there.
I think you get the extra game. You get probably an extra plate appearance per game because of where Moncada's in the lineup versus Baldwin. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't feel strongly either way. But I would definitely have Moncada at least somewhere down if you need third base.
And then the rotation is an absolute travesty, as you mentioned earlier. I will say Caden Dana came back and with 5 innings, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Like, the dude is 21. The expectations were huge last year. He battled injuries this year. I'm not saying run out to grab him, but if you can stash, you can get him for a buck now. If he pitches well now, you could have him for the rest of the way. Or at worst, just pay attention because it's a two-step this week. Minnesota is a great starting point.
Yeah.
At Seattle could be tricky. But then it's at Coors, which you could still beat them there. And then versus Kansas City. But it's an intriguing two-step with Caden Dana. It's like, you're a believer that he's getting it right. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, that is interesting. And, I mean, Seattle's next on our list here. But at Seattle does not scare me right now. I mean, the park is pitcher's paradise, and that lineup has just been on the struggle bus. So I like that. I actually like that call, Caden Dana. They also called this dude up Mitch Ferris, who made his MLB debut earlier this week, I believe, had a 17% K-minus walk in Double-A, 116 innings. I don't know much about him. Probably won't add him, but just a name to throw out there, I guess. He would get at Seattle against Luis Castillo. Could be a dub.
That could be a win. Could be a win. Yes. Yep. Something to keep in mind. All right, Seattle Mariners, they have 7 games this week, all at home. 3 versus St. Louis, 4 versus the Angels. 3 lefties, 4 righties for the Mariners.
I mean, just as a fan of the Mariners, this needs to be a get-right week for this team. It's been an utter disaster on the road. Now they're back home against a really easy schedule. This lineup needs to get going because outside of Julio and maybe some Jorge Polanco, there hasn't been much lately for the Mariners. I don't really see much of a fab ad here. I mean, the good Mariners are rostered and it's a 3-4 split. So I don't see much.
Yeah. Victor Robles is due back soon, but he was platooning beforehand. So I'm not too excited about that.
Yep.
So yeah, I got nothing really when it comes to Seattle, nothing of interest at all with the Mariners.
No, I mean, their core 5 rotations all back. Like, this team should be hitting its stride right now. Munoz is locked in. There's just no movement, but they are not. So,
all right, Texas Rangers for 6, 3 at home versus Milwaukee, 3 at the Mets, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Texas Rangers, a team that's quite beat up, but they keep winning, Ryan. Jock Jam gets 4 righties. Is it enough? Is it enough?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Jock Peterson is borderline for me with 4 righties, and it's not the easiest schedule depending on how, like, Tong and, well, Sproat's coming up. We'll talk about him, but yep. How those guys look. So I don't know. I don't really have much on the hitting side. I do want to give you, and maybe you've got a hitter to throw out there, but I do want to give you props for Sean Armstrong a couple weeks ago when he wrote him up for Baseball HQ and Playing Time Tomorrow. That has turned out to be a pretty good, cheap, under-the-radar save ad and seems to be the guy right now in Texas, and they're winning.
Thank you much. Yep. It once in a while, throwing stuff at the wall sticks. So that one worked out well. He's still there. He got the last save. Yeah.
No, but he's still widely available. Sean Armstrong's 33% rostered in 12 teamers.
And not enough people listen to our show. It's okay. I got it. just kidding. I will say something to monitor over the weekend. Jake Berger's playing time. I'm going to first preface this. He played Wednesday versus righty because I can't remember who the pitcher was now. He had major ownage on, career-wise, major ownage. So they put him in there. Now, see if that trends over the weekend. Does he still play versus righties, or is it strictly a platoon with Rowdy? Because if Berger were to play every day, I'd be interested in picking him back up. That would get me interested. But if he's in the platoon, I want nothing to do with him. He's 54% rostered. So definitely something to keep an eye on over the weekend. If Berger starts playing more, because Rowdy has cooled down tremendously, then you got my attention again.
Yep, absolutely. The playing time's there for Berger. Very interesting. Also, if you have Adelis Garcia, just keep an eye out. Hasn't played the last 2 days. I think it's a quad. Been hurt lately a bunch. So
they might not put him on the IL. Remember, Ryan?
Gee, Bubba, why won't they put him on the IL? Let's go into that.
I do want to mention another guy, and maybe it's more of a deep league play only, but it could be something. This Michael Hellman. In the outfield, he's let off a bit or hit towards the bottom of the order, hitting 280 over the last week with 2 homers, 2 steals, 7 runs scored. He's been involved in a lot of their offense, it feels like, in like big innings at least lately. So he's another guy that, you know, if you want to try to write a hot hand, like obviously Jeremiah Jackson's been much better than Michael Hellman, but Hellman's playing every single day in center field, and he could be one of those guys that could, you know, journeyman finally figures it out for a little stretch run towards the end.
I mean, hard to argue with 46 plate appearances of 3 homers, 3 steals, a 15% strikeout rate, 3 barrels. Like, the hard contact's been there. I don't think Michael Hellman's that good of a player long term, but we've got 3 weeks left. He's playing every day and hitting well right now. I think that matters. So that's a good deep league call out.
Yep. There you go. All right. Let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, they have 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus the Cubs, 3 versus Houston, 2 lefties and 4 righties for a Braves team that is starting to hit the ball. Not Ronald Acuna. He is not. Ozzy Albies is, though. Michael Harris has cooled down. They got Ha-Sung Kim. What do you like here with this Braves team that has nothing to play for, but they keep actually making it entertaining at least?
Yeah, I've got Ha-Sung Kim as a really good ad, 19% rostered in 12 teamers. I think he's a 12-team ad. It's funny. Shout out to John Wilder in our Discord. He alerted us to a tweet that earlier this week, Ha-Sung Kim is the first Brave shortstop to hit a home run this season, which almost just seems crazy. Unbelievable, like a made-up stat. But that is,
true. Every other team has at least 5 from their shortstop position. That was a part of the tweet. I was like, good okay, God.
Yeah, that's nuts. But no, I think Ha-Sung Kim, I think the playing time's going to be there. And I think he's good when he is playing. It's been a lost season with injuries, but
yeah, I'm bummed. I dropped him in like 12s like 2 weeks ago, and he got hurt again. I was like, I'm over it. He's getting hurt. I love the talent, but I just can't do it. And
yeah,
it was the right move at the time, but it just kind of sucks. Other than that, sorry to cut you off. I've been doing that a lot tonight, but I got nothing else with these guys.
Nope, ditto.
Jerks and Profar's wife just had a kid, so he's already hitting the ball a ton. Now he gets dad strength, so watch out, folks. Miami Marlins, they have 7 games this week, 4 all at home, 4 versus the Nats, 3 versus the Tigers, 2 lefties, 5 righties for a Marlins team that I can't wait to see if Ryan knows who some of these players are.
Well,
it's good.
What happened to Maxima?
I laugh every time they make a transaction. It's so bad.
Where did Maxima Acosta used to be on the team? Where did he go?
He's back in AAA.
All right. Never heard of Brian Navarretto. Don't know who that is. I've heard of Javier Sano. I've heard of these guys. Even Troy Johnston I've heard of. But Connor Norby's back. He's 23% rostered and in 12 teamers and hitting pretty well and should be playing third base every day. So I'm always a Connor Norby guy. I like that. That's pretty much the only hitter I'm interested in, though.
Yeah, that's it. I remember I wrote him up last week. He was so low roster. It's like, wow, is he going to pick him up? No one did. He's the dude there. Other than that, man, this rotation's destroyed.
Weathers.
Weathers is back next week. That's a good point. We've mentioned him the last couple of weeks.
I think Ryan Weathers is a priority ad. I don't think he's like a Luis Garcia for Houston type level just because I don't know when he's going to get hurt again or whatever, but if Ryan Weathers can patch together 3 weeks of health, I think that could be good. I don't know how deep into games or whatever he'll pitch. That's I mean, the Marlins thing, have no point to push him. But if you need pitching, I think Ryan Weathers is absolutely an option if he's available.
Agreed. All right, New York Mets. They have 7 games, 4 at Philadelphia, 3 at home versus Texas, 5 lefties for the Mets, and 2 righties. One of those unicorn weeks we have on our hands here. It's because of the Phillies. The Phillies have all the lefties, dude, all of them. So that's what does it every time. And the Rangers have 2 out of 3 with Lats and Corbin. Didn't mention Lats when talking about the Rangers. That might be a guy to keep in mind as well. But what do you like when it comes to the Mets this week?
I mean, given the 5 lefties, I'd at least maybe look at Starling Marte if you need a cheap outfield ad. I think he'll play, but that's a reach. I don't know how Francisco Alvarez is coming back. He's broken his hand like 8 times a season.
It's like the Terminator.
He's probably going to come back look like Chubbs. He's going to have like 2 fingers.
We have to get more 3.
But Francisco Alvarez is back, and
he's 39% roster. He had a grand slam at AAA. Like, he's got a fractured pinky and a ligament damage in his thumb, and
Chubb, man, we're calling him Chubb.
Probably makes one hell of a bowler right now. But yeah, I got nothing else really at that point, because all the other guys have been picked up as of late when it comes to the hitting side of things.
Yeah, and on the pitching side, I think the Mets, hopefully with anyone still starting Kodai Senga out there, the Mets may save you from yourself by, I think they're wanting to get rid of Kodai Senga or get him to the minors.
Yeah. So they're trying to convince him to go to the minor leagues, and the major reason why is Brandon Sprout. He's getting called up. He's going to pitch Sunday, though, so that'll be a fab the following week if he sticks around. So someone to keep in mind, but that's one way to get rid of Kodai Senga, who I'm so glad I actually dropped last week.
Yeah, Sprout will be interesting. You look at the season-long numbers in the minors for Sprout, it's honestly not that great. It's like a 12% strikeout minus walk, which in AAA is pretty bad, but Sprout has been a lot better lately, and I think that's part of the reason for the call here. So I think Sprout, like, I'm not as excited for him as I was like Nolan McLean or even Tong or Tolley from last week, but he's going to pitch, I think, and continue pitching, so that by default means you should look at him if you need pitching.
Yep, most definitely. Philadelphia Phillies, 7 games this week, 4 at home versus the Mets, 3 at home versus the Royals, so 7 games in Citizens Bank, 3 lefties, 4 righties for one thing we see every week, a Phillies team that plays pretty much the same dudes.
Yeah, pretty much. Brandon Marsh has been playing pretty well lately. You could roll with him as a platoon bat in a 7-game week, 4 righties, so you do that, but outside of that, nah.
Yep, pitching's locked in until Aaron Nola gets kicked out of the rotation, so...
We can bench Aaron Nola, people. I think that's safe to do now.
It's fun. It's almost no fun anymore because Ryan doesn't even try to defend him anymore. It's just like, yep, here we are. All right, Washington Nationals. They have 7 games, 4 at Miami, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Nats. Team that, man, you look at their every like 30-day numbers versus righties and lefties, they shouldn't be as bad as they actually are.
Agreed. And still have a decent lineup. Like, I don't know. Agreed. They shouldn't be this bad. Like, they are 24 and a half games out of first place. That is absolutely terrible. Dalen Lyle is playing every day. If you need stolen bases, I think that's an excellent ad. Someone who's pretty much hitting near the top or in the middle of the Nationals order and probably will get 7 games. So you have to like that. Dalen Lyle in the outfield if you need bags.
I'll throw Andrew Alvarez out there on the mound. He gets Pittsburgh this week. He got called up this past week to make his MLB debut. I believe it was his debut. Could be totally wrong there, but I'm pretty sure. He went 5 shutout innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the Marlins. He gets Pittsburgh this week. So that would interest me as a streaming option. A lot of pitch to contact. He's not a massive strikeout guy, but he gets Mitch Keller opposite him. So that is interesting. He's got Atlanta. And then might not even pitch the final week. So I think that's in play.
Yeah. Do you know who has the easiest schedule per the starting pitcher planner of any pitcher in the next 2 weeks?
Is it Alvarez?
it would be one Mitchell Parker.
Oh, dude. We bring this up with
Ben. I know, you and Ben. I know.
Oh, God. And he, like, he was so close last start. He was so close.
The dude does so get close. At Miami, who's awful against lefties, and at home against Pittsburgh the next two starts. And I think it's a – no, is it a two-step? September 14th?
I got it right here.
It is. It's a two-step. It is a two-step. Let's good go. Oh, God.
I actually kind of want to get in on this action, which feels
it's the easiest so schedule of any pitcher, and it's by a decent amount. So I'm just throwing it out there. Mitchell Parker's not good, but matchups are everything right now.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. But yeah, I'd take him over Andrew Alvarez, honestly. I'll take the two step.
Sure.
But Maggie, and I got your text message, and that does not surprise me at all. But yeah, other than that, I got nothing with Washington. It's just one of those things is as the season winds down, bad teams always have fantasy options because no one rosters these guys.
Yeah,
that's just the reality of the situation. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week, three at Atlanta, three at home versus Tampa, two lefties, four righties. Cubs are a mess. PCA is getting times off to clear his head now. Kyle Tucker hopefully comes back on Friday from his shin injury. Seiya can't hit. Most of the team can't hit, so I don't even know what to do with these guys anymore.
Yeah, no, I think we've been getting questions like, is PCA a drop? Like,
his second half numbers are that
it's
bad.
Just so bad. He's been so bad. I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, if you do it, I don't think it's egregious. I don't.
10-team leagues, easy drop. 12 teams, it's a definite discussion.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, this team's just we mentioned Matthew Boyd running out of gas. On the Tuesday show, he hasn't the stuff has not been there lately. And again, to be expected, given the workload for Matthew Boyd. So I have more drops than adds on the Cubs right now.
Yeah. With 3 weeks left, like we talk about making tough cuts early in the year, like it's time to put up or shut up. Like if you can get a guy on the waiver wire that actually helps you right now, you make that move. That's just the reality of the situation at this point in the season.
Unlike PCA with two lefties, that's going to be – he's going to play, but he's horrible against lefties. So you're only really getting four games of PCA next week. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I get it. Cincinnati, six games on the road, three at Petco in San Diego, three at Sacramento, one lefty and five righties. Another great set of matchups for the Reds, but do you trust anybody here?
Good set of matchups, but it's all on the road. I mean, I like Austin Sacramento, though. Yeah, that's true. Yep, three is at Sacramento. Good call. I like Austin Hayes. It's more of a start-sit thing. Go him. I've been talking about Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think, ever since he went on the Reds. He's been honestly really good, and he's only 9% rostered in 12. So if you need a third baseman, you could go there.
I'll throw out Gavin Lux for all the righties. Like he doesn't have a ton of power, but he keeps hitting for average, and he scores a lot of runs. So I could see an angle for some Gavin Lux, especially with that Sacramento series. Wanted to mention Tyler Stevenson starting rehab assignment. He could be back early next week.
Ah.
I dropped him everywhere. He wasn't hitting to begin with, but if you're in need of a catcher, you could roll the dice with Tyler Stevenson. I wouldn't be opposed to it, especially if you picked up Jose Trevino as a catcher too, who was a good catcher too for the time being. That ship has possibly sailed.
I'm still starting Tyler Stevenson in DCs because I don't have anybody else who's healthy. So
I feel you there. I have three catchers and two of them are Kyber Ruiz and Tyler Stevenson. So one of them is starting every week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And on the Washington Nationals front, Kyber Ruiz started rehab assignments as well, but he was out for 2 months with a concussion, so his might be a little longer.
Wouldn't be running to Fab to get Kyber Ruiz.
No. I got nothing else. No pitching sides here, unless you do.
Nope.
All right. Milwaukee Brewers, six games, three at Texas, three at home versus St. Louis, one lefty, five righties for the smashing Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, and thus not much action on Fab. I mean, Joey Ortiz is back from the IL, but I mean, was hitting well before the injury, so you could ride that hot streak. I've always been a little bit skeptical of the skills with Joey Ortiz, but if you're desperate for a middle infield play, Joey Ortiz is there. I wanted to talk more about this bullpen situation, this like cryptic information that Trevor McGill is aiming to come back, like even either when eligible or closely thereafter. And they hinted at some other type of injury in the Brewers bullpen. So I don't know what's going on with potentially Abner Uribe right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's Abner, but I was looking at the way the back end of the bullpen's been utilized. It could be Nick Mears. He blew a save on Monday and hasn't pitched the last three. On Wednesday, they utilized all the back end except him. So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking at options if it's not Abner, because Abner's had the save, the blown save, and then the hold where Coney got it's a mess, but the cryptic message was very terrifying to your point. Tyler McGill had a successful bullpen. He's going to throw another one. I believe he's first eligible to come back like on the 12th or 13th. I was reading the 16th is when they're shooting to have him back.
Yeah.
Which would give you 2 weeks of Tyler McGill.
And I mean, that makes it tough. Trevor McGill. I mean, it makes it tough if you have Abner Uribe. Do you hold another way? I mean, you've got three more games to see how they use Abner Uribe. But
well, in theory, you'd have them all next week, in theory.
In theory, but you probably need to add McGill this week.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, yes. So.
Yeah, drop somebody else.
Right.
You want to keep Abner.
Yeah, as long as you can.
Because if McGill could have a setback, too.
Yes, he could. He has not yet, but yes, he could.
Yeah, so I'd be trying to hold Abner, but yes, pick up Miguel to your point. I agree with you as well. Anything else, though? They're pretty much locked and loaded everywhere else.
Locked in for another short postseason exit. Sorry, Brewers fans.
I hope not.
I hope they make a run, man. That's a fun team to watch.
And then for those that might be panicking about Christian Yelich, I would not be worried too much about Christian Yelich. They've already said flat out that this is normal for a guy that's had surgery. He's been dealing with it for a couple of weeks. They expect him back like business as usual. They might give him a few extra days off because they've already pretty much locked up playoffs, but Yelich should be fine.
Yep.
All righty. Pittsburgh Pirates, 6 games on the road, 3 at Baltimore, 3 at the Nats, 3 lefties, 3 righties for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Not much here, man. I mean, Jared Triolo has been hot leading off, but I don't think there's much there. Tommy Pham's been actually hitting a little bit, but I don't see anything here for Pittsburgh.
No, I am not interested in anything for Pittsburgh, to be totally honest. Not even on the pitching side.
Ashcraft,
yes.
He's only 37% rostered, Braxton Ashcraft is, and NFBC 12 teamers. Next few matchups would be a two-step. At Baltimore, at Washington, so they do the beltway tilt. I like that two-step for Braxton Ashcraft this week.
I do want to mention, though, he threw 3 innings in his last start because they were monitoring his innings. So hopefully that means he goes back to regular starts coming up, but that's just something to brace yourself for is what I'll mention.
Yeah, you might want to – that may have happened while I was in Atlanta. We'll just go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that, yes. Because he's been normal starting since then, so it could have just been like the one start to monitor innings and then back to normal. Just keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right, St. Louis Cardinals, 6 games all on the road, 3 at Seattle, 3 at Milwaukee, 1 lefty, 5 righties. For the Cardinals, Alec Burleson is set to maybe return early next week or at worst start his rehab assignment, so keep that in mind.
Yeah. Keep that in mind. Would love to see they've got Nathan Church on their team. Would love to see a Cardinals Nationals Church versus Lord. That would be fantastic.
Yes, that would be good.
Or Quinn Priester. They're in the same division. That could work too.
That works as well.
I got nothing on the Cardinals.
I never do. This team is.
I never do. I know. It's
It's rough.
Jojo Romero has been very good. He's been a good pickup. I'll say that.
That is a fair point. NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games, 3 at the Giants, 3 at Minnesota, 1 lefty, 5 righties. For the D-backs, a D-backs team that is trying their darndest, it feels like, to get Lawler some playing time.
Yeah, and I mean, why not? Why not? They're not making the playoffs. Like, get him MLB reps. The one thing they have done with Jordan Lawler, and some of this has been Lawler's fault with injuries, he just has not had a prolonged amount of time to face MLB pitching. Let him struggle in September. Who really cares? I don't think fantasy-wise, you want to stay far away from that until we see something from Jordan Lawler, but I get why the Diamondbacks are doing it. Honestly, fantasy-wise, like, I know I'm a sucker for Jake McCarthy usually, and I know he's hitting some god-awful batting average, but it's a really low BABIP. Like, he is making contact. It's a 20% K rate. He's got 6 steals, some power, 5 barrels a season. Like, if you need bags, I think Jake McCarthy's going to play regularly against right-handed pitching, and the Diamondbacks get five of them this week. So it's a 15-team play if you need bags, Jake McCarthy.
And I'll throw Blaze Alexander out there. He's still hitting, playing every day. He's 55% rostered in 12s. So he's a guy that can bring you some upside. He's got some flexibility as well, multi-position type stuff there. Don't mind Blaze, and I'm not saying to add him, but if they don't play Adrian Del Castillo this week with five righties,
I know.
Just shoot the whole team to the moon. Just shoot them all to the moon.
Well, maybe just like the front office, not the team.
Whoever's making the decision, let's put it that way. Okay. And then I'll go back out there again. I said it last week, and I put my money where my mouth was and tout because I didn't really need him. But Nesbeel Crismat got a two-step this week at the Giants and at the Twins. And you did that same chuckle last week. And Mr. Crismat just shoved that chuckle down your throat again with 6 1/3, 2 runs, 1 walk, 3 Ks. The strikeouts are never there, but the ratios are. So I think he's a viable two-step, especially in 15s with a little bit of 12-team appeal.
Disagree, but hey, it worked for you last week.
Yep. So all else fails, try again.
Never team, right. Never Nabil here on this side.
Didn't you say you had like a classmate,
buddy, Nabil, old buddy named Nabil? He was fun. He's a fun guy. An
old buddy. So maybe that's what I should tell Mr. Crismat. You're my old buddy pitcher. I'll see you later. Colorado Rockies, 7 games this week, all on the road. 3 at the Dodgers, 3 at the Padres, 3 lefties, 4 righties. Road Rockies, go.
It's Road Rocky, so it's a stream against. It's Kershaw, Emmett Sheen.
Nope. That has not updated yet for you. Kershaw got pushed to Sunday. Ohtani starting Monday.
Okay. Ohtani, Sheehan, Snell. Michael King, perhaps?
Yeah.
Throw that at the Road Rockies. Maybe. Let's see. Probably would make one more rehab start, so let's see what the pitch count is for Michael King there, but an option against the Road Rockies. Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, and then Nestor Cortez. Oh, I don't think I can do Cortez against the Rockies even. It's a two-step, but yeah, I don't know. Not much you can do fab-wise there, honestly. Maybe Michael King
if he's sitting there. Everybody else, I just kind of sit and watch. And when it comes to the bats of the Rockies, Goodman, Beck, Doyle are probably pretty much well rostered, so I have nothing else for you.
Right. And they're on the road. Like, no, I'm not touching Rocky bats this week.
Dodgers, 6 games, 3 at home versus Colorado, 3 at the San Francisco Giants, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Any interest here? Tommy Edmond is rehabbing, and he's going to be primarily in center field once he returns, maybe sometime next week.
Okay. Yeah, didn't go well for Tommy Edmond the last time he returned from injury.
Not excited either.
Yeah. But an option if he's back. I think the big thing for the Dodgers for me right now is just watch Will Smith, the catcher. Like, God, that's a smile on your face. He's already been ruled out for this weekend, it sounds like.
I don't wish injury on anybody. It's just a shame. Yeah.
Calling BS on that. But if you have Will Smith as a catcher, and it's still in flux, and there's a decent catcher on the wire, have a plan B there. If I will say, like, if there's nothing, if it's a 15-team league and there's just nothing in catchers, maybe just ride out with Will Smith. But whatever this injury is, I don't know where it is or whatever, but doesn't sound great for Will Smith.
He the second inning, I believe Tuesday's game, took a ball off of his throwing hand while he was catching it to leave the game. X-rays came back negative. He said he's out for this weekend, set to have a CT scan. So hopefully by Fab on Sunday, we have the answer to that. Unlike other teams like the Astros and whatnot, they're actually doing all of the testing before telling him he's okay, which is good. Dalton Rushing should get most of the work. They did call up Ben Roethlisberger, who has been hanging around to be the backup catcher too. But Rushing got the start on Thursday. He came into the game on Wednesday when Smith left the game. So he seems like the immediate one, which would be enticing, at least in 15s, maybe in 12s as well.
You mean Rushing or Rorfitt?
Dalton Rushing, sorry.
Yeah, Rushing. Agreed. I thought Rushing was more – I get him – for whatever reason, I get him mixed up with Baldwin in Atlanta. That makes no sense. But Dalton Rushing's 1% in 12, so universally rostered. If you have Will Smith, maybe that's your move as an insurance option there.
Yep, totally agree. Pitching side, are you going for some Emmett Sheehan, or are you just walking away from all of that?
Yeah, I'm going for Emmett Sheehan. He gets the Road Rockies, of course.
There you go.
But I think he's got to be widely, Yeah, he's 95% in 12. So you're definitely starting him if you have Emmett Sheehan.
All right. San Diego. The San Diego Padres. 7 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Cincy. 3 versus those Road Rockies. The best, I believe, hitting schedule on the week for the Padres. 2 lefties and 5 righties. What do you got here? Jackson Merrill is back, and he's upset in the apple cart.
Yeah, Jackson Merrill is back. What did you say? He's what?
He said he's upsetting the apple cart, but Cheats has played against every righty for a while. I'm waiting for that to come to an end is my concern.
Upsetting the apple cart?
If you've never heard that?
We're Googling. Jesus. Upsetting the apple cart. Spoil a plan or disturb the status quo.
You're guess welcome.
That's properly it's accurate used.
What I said. Yes, you're welcome. You thought I was just throwing stuff out there.
I mean, I don't know. It's late, man. We're 1:15 in. It's freaking 1:20 a.m. Eastern. And you're just upsetting the apple cart. Yeah, Jackson Merrill. I mean, he's been terrible, but it's 5 good righties. Like, the schedule's awesome. Ryan O'Hearn's widely rostered. You do him. And then, yeah, Gavin Sheets, 76% rostered. But you add or start Gavin Sheets this week. Great schedule. Yeah.
I hope they just keep playing him because they weren't playing him when Sheets or when Merrill was there. Now they have played him, like I said, since Merrill's come back. Let's hope that stays is my biggest concern there. Yeah. And I'll do it every show, I think, for the rest of the year. Kudos to the Ramon Laureano talk. That he just keeps freaking
been beasting a him. Monster, man.
He yes. just keeps beasting him. And then, yes, keep an eye on Michael King. He should be pretty locked in there. He's 98% still. So, yeah, that ain't happening.
Real quick, I know we have a 2-step segment. We're going a little long, but Nestor Cortes has the number 2 easiest schedule this week. It's a 2-step against the Reds and Rockies. Like, Nestor Cortes is not good. I don't know if this is the same Nestor Cortes, but if you're just desperate for, if you're good in ratios and you're desperate for wins and Ks, Nestor Cortes could be an option. It's a prayer.
Yeah. I don't think I can do it, but yes, you are not wrong there. I'll put it that way. It's definitely a prayer. I'd rather play go Chris Matt than him, but we'll go through the 2-step list here shortly.
Chat's coming after me for upsetting the apple cart here. Sarah says, how have you never heard this? Michael C. Bubba teaching more Bible lessons and idioms.
And the best thing, I don't remember if we recapped the Bible one, but it was before FPAS last year. And Raj even knew what I was talking about.
The story of Samson?
Yes. Raj knew it immediately. He's so disappointed in his son.
Yeah, man. Right. I mean, I haven't heard the story of Samson since a year ago when we talked about it.
So. I wasn't going to bring it up. Then Michael got us going again. Yeah. All right. Last but not least, one of the hottest teams in all of baseball. Too bad they sucked for 2 months because they'd be running away with the West right now. I actually saw actual tweets. If they're 500... over June and July, they'd be up like 7 games in the West right now. It's so depressing.
I mean, honestly, it's all credit to Bob Melvin. He's really turned the ship around, and they're playing hard for him. So I think you're going to get Melvin again next year.
The Book of Revelation would tell you that there's fire and brimstone, Ryan. All right, the Giants this week. They have 6 games, all at home. Arizona, Dodgers, 1 lefty, 5 righties. All I got to say, get spunky. Get some Drew Gilbert in your life.
That guy's nuts, isn't he?
I was thinking about it. The Giants need that. Like, need that, because they've been such a geriatric team for so long. They need that. And to combo that with Adamas wanting to kill guys on the mound, Chapman and Devers, like, it's like their little brother. Did I just say he's want to swat or choke out, technically? So he was talking shit to the outfield fans in Colorado last night after the 3rd out of the game of the ninth inning. It was awesome. It was so awesome.
Okay.
Because they were heckling him all game. When he finally turned around, he waved to him, and then he went 3 sweep and ran to the infield.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I mean, is he a fab ad though? Like,
the way he's swinging right now, he is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know much about him other than his
and he's skinky. Demeanor. He's got speed too.
Okay. Yeah. What's Luis Matos? See, I mean, he's playing every day. He's
playing every day. I keep rolling with him too. Like, I think I prefer Matos long term, but I might prefer Gilbert this week with the schedule, if that makes sense to anybody. I'll play it on both, but I really like that I know Glasnow can be scary, Otani can be scary, but I like that schedule for the left-handed bats.
I just want Gilbert to do well just to see you know, how he takes it.
Oh, dude, if Gilbert can get pumped for a Giants-Dodgers rivalry, send me back to my heyday. Like I might be insufferable if that takes place. It's Matos. You can go that direction still. I'm still on board with that. But yeah, Gilbert's a guy I'm heavily, heavily keeping an eye on this week.
Okay. There's another Seymour, Carson Seymour.
Yeah, he's a reliever. Yeah. All right, he's been getting some starts.
Yeah, he's listed in their rotation.
Yeah, I don't know how much I trust that, but yeah, Pootie Tang got a start. He actually pitched well in Coors. But yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess right now. A lot of injuries.
Quite the nickname there.
It's a movie. But I will say this with Gilbert, just now I'm going, instead of running long. So I was cruising in the truck today and I kept thinking like, who does this guy remind me of? It's been bugging me for a few days. And I was thinking Hollywood's so lazy. They always make remakes. If they ever made a remake of Dazed and Confused, he'd be Ben Affleck's character. Like he would so be that guy running around wanting to paddle the freaking freshman kid. That would be him.
I thought you were going to say Preppis.
I haven't seen his golf game.
I don't know. We got to get him back for golf again.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. We will get him back for golf. Anything else for the Giants as I've just completely derailed this train?
When we were making Daniel Preppis comps, it's time to move on.
Yep. All right. Any final thoughts on the 30-team schedule? It's pretty top. I don't know. Really nothing too crazy, but I still made a decent list when all things were said and done.
Yeah, a couple closer options, a few decent pitcher options, and then just hitter streaming and playing time. So, let's check real quick the Fantrax top risers of the week. You've got, just to see if we didn't miss anybody, Jeremiah Jackson, number one. Andrew Benintendi, number two. We both endorse those. JJ Bleda, number three. We do not endorse that in a road week for the A's. Nolan Jones, number four. Michael Toglia, number five. There's your guy. There's Zach Geloff, number six, up 2%, up to 46%. Look at that rare steak red strikeout rate, 50%. That's
your chart for that. There. Figured that out on my own.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyone else? Ha-Seong Kim, we mentioned earlier. We really like him. He's up 2%. But
not much else.
That's kind of it. So I don't think we missed anybody major. Pitching side, even fewer ads. We talked about Tyler Wells, especially if you need whip. What?
Who picked up Ronel Blanco?
Don't know. Maybe it's a next year move. I have no idea because there's a bunch of keeper leagues on Fantrax. So.
That's true. Out in Louis, Francis, yeah. That's a keeper league. What
the hell? Luis Severino up 3%. You mentioned him, but yeah, very little on this list.
Not on the pitching side. Hitting side, I'm on board. Pitching side, that's definitely looking ahead situation there.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to two-stepping before everyone leaves.
I think they've all left at this point.
They went the way of Drew Gilbert. Out of here.
And Preppis.
Yeah. Whew. All right. Nabil Chrismat at the Giants at Minnesota. I say yes.
No. Is he really the first guy? Nabil Chrismat.
Arizona. It's at the top.
No, man. Nabil Chrismat. I'm not doing that.
I'm doing it. 15s for sure. Most likely in 12s. Luis Morales of the A's versus Boston versus Cincy. I am saying yes.
We're saying yes, it is. It's just a tough spot to at home, but Morales has pitched very well. 17% K minus walk on the season. I think you just have to roll with the skills and hope.
Yep, hope and pray on that one. Atlanta, Joey Wentz versus the Cubs versus Houston.
I think Wentz is on the live bloom boards for one of the lowest drops in fastball velocity of the last month. You couple that with a pretty tough schedule, even though the Cubs have been rough lately. But no, I'm not doing Joey Wentz.
Garrett Crochet at Sacramento versus the Yankees.
Yeah, auto start. I mean, tough one last time out, but it's Garrett Crochet.
Guardians of all teams. Shota at Atlanta versus Tampa. Yes.
Auto. Yep.
Lodolo at San Diego at the A's.
Also an auto, even at the A's. Yes.
Yep. Slade Ciccone versus KC versus the White Sox.
This one's a little bit tougher. I think I do it in 15s. I'd be pretty tepid in 12s for Slade.
I cut him weeks ago. I could see a 15 angle. That is it, though. Nothing else for me.
I mean, it's all with all these two steps. It's where do you need wins and Ks? Yes. And can you absorb a ratio blow up if Ciccone could get torched? But it's what do you need in standings?
True. Speaking of that, Chase Dolander at the Dodgers at San Diego.
So even then, no. If you need wins and Ks, do not get Chase Dolander.
What about Herman Marquez?
No. Gotcha. No.
All right. Yoendres Gomez of the Chicago White Sox versus Tampa at Cleveland.
I'm not doing it.
Sawyer Gibson Long at the Yankees at the Marlins. I can't. He's looked so bad.
Yeah, he's been okay, but no, I would not do Sawyer Gibson Long right now.
Jason Alexander at Toronto at Atlanta.
That's your guy, so I know you're saying yes, but that's tough, man. I don't think in 12s I would do that.
Giddy up.
Buckle up. You're going to have to.
Oof. All right. Ryan Burgert at Cleveland at Philadelphia.
This one, we talked about earlier. We love the Cleveland start. We hate the Philly start. So I don't know if I would do Ryan Burgert, honestly.
In 15s, yes. 12s, maybe. I don't think so.
That I think not in 12s.
Yeah. Noah Cameron at Cleveland at Philly.
I mean, they're kind of the same guy.
Yeah, one's from the right, one's from the left. Pick your poison.
Yeah, so I'd lean Cameron over Burgert, but
Phillies have been a little worse versus lefties lately. Still pretty good, but a little worse.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe in 15 for Cameron, but that's it.
Okay. Caden Dana versus Minnesota at Seattle. I'm intrigued.
Minnesota's awful. At Seattle is a nice spot. Caden Dana, I still don't think is that good. 44% ball rate. That's terrible for Caden Dana.
His walk rate in the minors is so bad.
Yeah, I think these are still major league hitters he's facing. I don't think I would do it, honestly.
I think if you're looking for wins, this could be a dude, but it's tough. I get it. It's tough. I'm interested. Yeah, very interested.
I don't know.
Yeah. What about Kyle Hendricks?
No.
All right. Jansen Junk. I don't know if he'll be back. Yuri Perez versus Washington versus Detroit.
No. Yuri Perez is...
He's broken.
Yeah. For now, at least.
Jose Quintana at Texas versus St. Louis. That's a yes.
It's a yes. I mean, it's always with... He's like the Waka from the left side. Skills are always bad. Results usually pretty decent and good matchup. So, yeah, I'd go Quintana.
Simeon Woods Richardson at the Angels versus Arizona.
I have no pulse on this guy. I always say no with Woods Richardson.
Yep, I'm saying no again. Sean Manaea at Philly versus Texas doesn't even go 5 innings both starts.
Yeah, I mean, you do it, and you just hope he doesn't go 4 2/3, 3 2/3 again. But, I mean, he's got a 25% strikeout minus walk, Manaea does. Like, that's skills have been there. It's just not the wins have not. You got to go 5 to get a win. That's a rule.
Yep. Will Warren versus Detroit at Boston.
Yeah, on 15s for sure.
Yep. Aaron Nola versus the Mets versus Kansas City.
It's a two-step Nola?
Yep, Mets, KC, both at home.
I mean, are you really living life if you're not starting an Aaron Nola? Come on.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm benching Nola.
Good. Thank you. I was about to go, don't do it. Braxton Ashcraft at Baltimore at Washington. Yes.
Yeah. In most formats, I would throw Ashcraft out there. Again, assuming the 3-inning thing from last time, that doesn't repeat, which we won't know. So I don't know.
Yu Darvish versus Cincinnati versus Colorado. No.
Yeah.
He's not been good.
I mean, he's not been good. It's been okay.
He's been horrible.
It's a great set of matchups. I would do it. Yeah, I'm doing Yu Darvish.
Well, then what about Nestor Cortez in the same set of matchups?
Cortez's skills are much worse than Yu Darvish's. Like, much worse. Like, maybe in a 15 for Cortez. Maybe. Just only because of the schedule.
Yeah, I'm not doing either. Brian Wu versus St. Louis versus the Angels. Yes.
Yeah, auto.
George Kirby versus St. Louis versus the Angels.
God Oh, I mean, yes, auto, but like, man, that hurt this week.
Yep. Logan Webb versus Arizona versus the Dodgers. Yes. Miles Mikolas at Seattle at Milwaukee.
No. Never. It was this week when every pitcher got blown up except for like two other guys and Miles Mikolas, who had no strikeouts.
Yeah. No freaking strikeouts.
This guy, man.
Adrian Hauser at the White Sox at the Cubs.
No.
Jacob Latz first Milwaukee at the Mets. I would be willing to in 15s. 12s, I'm a little scared.
If you need Ks, but that's pretty much it.
Jose Berríos versus Houston versus Baltimore.
Never know what Berríos is going to do. I just start him, and at the end of the season, he usually ends up okay.
Cade Cavalli at Miami versus Pittsburgh.
Yes. I would roll that one. Yep, I like
Cavalli. Last but not least, Mitchell Parker at Miami versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, easiest schedule. If you're desperate for wins and you're bunched in wins, absolutely. I would do it. But if you're bunched in ratios, do not.
I agree. All right. We have a question from the gallery here. Britton Allen says, we are 5 months with season-long roto and ERA. Wins and whip are so close. Add mid-relief pitcher like Keller, Melton, or Rogers, or limit SP starts to only good matchups.
If you need the wins, I'd limit the SP starts to only good matchups.
Yes.
But I would lean starting pitchers over mid relievers.
Yes, I can see that. I go for, if you're going to go to the reliever routes, you go to a potential like a Cole Sand, someone late inning guy that could sneak into a win and get you strikeouts and ratios and see, maybe get saves, but you go that direction instead of the mids.
I heard a lot of Rocky Top Britton in person on Saturday, by the way. A lot of Rocky Top.
More in the first half, it feels like, than the second half, but yes. Good. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this wild week 25 Fab preview?
Yeah, off the rails a couple times. But we put the Apple cart back on the track and we're good now. So
I'm going to teach you so many things throughout the time of this show. It's going to be so great.
Already have.
Yes. All right. Well, that'll do it then. And make sure you guys enjoy your Apple carts. Go watch some Drew Gilbert, Dazed and Confused, if you feel like it. Whatever you prefer. But until next time, check out Ryan on the Twitter at RyanPHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm BD Intrick. Until next time, Bubba and the Bloom episode 274. Catch y'all later.